Texas First and Ten. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Good morning, everyone. We are First and Ten. David Gow, Carla Dawson, great to be here. Ron Culver behind the glass, and we're ready to fire it up and talk a little bit of football. Thursday night football underway, and your team, I see you're dressed in black.
It's Ron versus Carla this morning.
Ron versus Carla. I feel the tension of the room. Ron Culver, a longstanding Chargers fan in Ron and a Raiders fan in Carla. You guys want to just duke this out right now?
Yeah, we're going to step outside for a second, so we're just going to leave the show to you.
I've got it all covered. I'm ready to talk about Thursday night football because I really actually think this is a great matchup.
I do too, unfortunately.
Very evenly matched teams, so I can't pick between the two of you.
Ron, are you feeling good about the new change in OC?
Well, we're heading to London, baby.
Oh, gosh. We do have to get to that. Do you believe Spanos? Like he said before,
no.
We are not moving.
Yeah, I don't believe anything that comes out of Spanos' mouth now.
Oh, but he was pretty darn emphatic.
Oh, of course he was. He also said that about not moving from San Diego.
Yes, he did. But I want to say he has created the best visitor's stadium in the NFL.
Yeah, only the Chargers can have 16 road games every season.
So true. Wow.
But they're a very talented team. I mean, they played a great game last week against the Packers. You had to be proud of that, Ron.
Oh, I was extremely proud, but I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if I can believe in them yet.
Right. It's been up and down.
Well, the Chargers sitting at 4-5 in the AFC West. The Raiders at 4-4 after a big win against Detroit. All four Raider touchdowns scored by rookies. I think this is not to be overlooked. Credit Mike Mayock. We have two TV guys leading the Raiders in Gruden and Mayock, and so far, I like what I see.
All right. You heard it here from Carla. I will say that the Chargers' defense is what worries me for the Raiders. The Chargers' defense last year with both Bosa and Ingram was outstanding. I think that they found something last week that was really exciting on that side of the ball. And they still got injured pieces coming back. So it will be a great matchup tonight. Two evenly matched teams. And when we come back, we will look at other matchups coming up this weekend. A big, big weekend of both college and NFL football. We'll break it all down. You're listening to First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
This is First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, everybody. First and Ten. Okay, on Thursday nights, you're a co-host on a show called The Boss and the Gloss. You are the gloss.
On Monday nights, I am.
On Monday nights,
I don't know
you.
Where you are because you're my boss.
Yes, I'll be there Monday night with you.
You better be there, yeah.
Thursday mornings,
Thursday
Monday
night,
nights.
I'm in front of the Raiders tonight.
Okay, the thing is, the gloss understands fashion, good looks, hairstyles, how to really present oneself well.
See,
right, Ron, you
I have
can
a
validate.
For radio.
This
Y'all
is
can
a
lie
woman
all day long.
Who comes really dressed well. She's got style and sensibility. Is that not right, Ron?
Oh, he's about to give it to me. I can see.
No.
I can feel not, this setup
I'm,
right
I'm,
now.
No, I'm not going to give it to you. There's a little too much black going on today, though.
Okay, what?
Oh, you think?
Listen, I say this just to provide the context for the question. Baker Mayfield was playing with his own style this week, right? Before the football game, he came in with a full beard and a mustache. Right before the game, I guess he shaved right before he went on the field.
Fu Manchu.
He shaved off his beard and had a Fu Manchu when he played the game. Now, the game was not a good game for the Cleveland Browns and especially Baker Mayfield. So after the game, before the press conference, he shaved again, leaving himself with only a mustache. Now, you've seen three looks of Baker Mayfield all within a half day. You're a woman of style. Which look turned you on?
Oh.
Turn on might have been a little bit of an exaggeration, but just run with that for a minute. Yeah, I am the guy who asked you once if you had to choose between Rex Ryan or Rob Ryan.
Okay, this is too early for this.
Which one would you pick?
Stop already.
Well, well, well.
Okay, Ron.
Step into the lounge, lady. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield.
You know what's funny about that?
Yes.
Is watching Baker Mayfield's press conference after the loss on Sunday, I was like, why does he look different? I couldn't put my finger on it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the look. I thought he looked better with a lot of facial hair. And now that you've told me, I think he was trying to take a page from the Astros book. Remember? Mm. Bregman like came out, you know, mid-game. He had a mustache, or started the game with a mustache, ended it without one. I think he was trying to get a little.
Well, you can say take a page.
Star mojo.
I don't think he's even in, he's not
strong.
In the same book with the Astros right now. He is at the other end of the spectrum.
However, I think he thinks he is, but that's not going to take him far this time.
Goodness, the Browns have been the circus of the team. Well, the circus team of the year. Freddie Kitchens came out this week and said that he didn't want to look at statistics.
No, he says I truly do not look at stats.
In an era of data analytics, in an era of predicting what teams are going to do, in an era of understanding schemes, he's going to opt out.
Well, and here's what I would tell Freddie.
Okay.
If I could have a conversation with him.
And your day may come.
And it might just come. And
it
I'm
may
sure
come sooner rather than later
this,
when he's unemployed. Right.
He'll
be looking for work here.
I'm going to say, well, Freddie, you know what? I can respect your eye test and your feel for the game. But here are some stats that you might want to look at. Guess what? You are tied for the lead in the NFL, drum roll please, for interceptions at 12. So that's a stat you might want to look at, because all of last year you had 14. You also are number one in the league, averaging 12.5 penalties per game. So I'm kind of thinking, Freddie, maybe I'd flip a stat page here, because these aren't good.
Maybe that's why he didn't want to look at the stats. He's just monkey no see, monkey no do. I mean, you just don't want to know about these things.
Gosh, I think what's happened in Cleveland is that all the hopes when Baker Mayfield came in and all these draft picks that they have really drafted well over the last several years of their awful record, the hopes have not met expectations.
Yep.
This year were the expectations. They're going to the Super Bowl. They might be winning the Super Bowl. And wow, they're
well. I will
two
give
and
credit.
Six.
I'll Woo. Give credit to you, because I will note to our audience, and everybody has a short attention span, that at the very beginning of the season, when everyone was jumping on the Browns bandwagon, you, Carla
That's
Dawson,
right.
said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. It's fool's gold." And indeed, it has been.
Because you look at, I think now after one season with Baker Mayfield in the pros, now defenses have a book on this guy, and defenses in the NFL are smart, they're fast, and they're on to him. I mean, he's not having a great year. And the same thing happened with Colin Kaepernick. You know, came out of the chute. No one had seen a quarterback that moves and runs like that. And Baker doesn't move and run like that. But it's new blood in the NFL. And defense has had his number the next year. But that bodes well for your Dak Prescott. Because you look at his rookie season was great. His sophomore season was still great. I mean, and it got better as soon as they brought Amari Cooper on. But he did not get exposed like these other guys have.
Well, let's hope that he rises to great heights. I'll tell you, another quarterback struggling, of course, is Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh.
And he made news this week, not
struggling
for his play on the field.
As well, I might add.
Well, he does not want to hear the noise. He's heard enough. He says, turn down the negativity. I don't want to hear what the media is saying about the Bears.
He wants all televisions turned off to stave off all criticism.
Sure, in Hallis Hall, he has said, it won't help us. We don't want those voices. I would say that I'm going to say something positive and negative about this. First, I think there's a lot that's healthy about turning down the noise. I cannot believe that Freddie Kitchens listens to our show, and I don't think our show would do him any good, right?
What are you saying?
Okay, I don't want to sell us short. I'm sure he goes out of his way to find us each week. But the players, the coaches in this modern day of media really probably ought to just stay away from media. And they certainly don't need to go out onto Twitter. I mean, we've all seen players who read too many negative tweets about themselves, and then they went off and fired out blasts, and they just created something that was small and turned it into something big. So I do see the notion of hunkering down, focusing on your own team and your own execution, and turning off the noise. The strange, unfortunate dynamic for the Bears is that it was Trubisky who said it. right? Because it puts him so much more on the defensive.
Your signal caller, your supposed leader, yes.
Your leader and your leader who is flailing right now. Ideally, it would have been some stand-up guy who is a stud in the locker room, who speaks for the team and said, I want to wrap myself around this team and protect them from all the negativity because we're better than what they're saying. But Trubisky doesn't have that kind of a voice. It looks almost like somebody who is just hunkered down and almost scared of what's taking place around him.
Well, I think to your point, he's right. You're right. He's right that you want to protect yourself from that. I mean, the Bears are not doing well. As a Bears fan, you're like, oh my gosh, they traded up to get this guy number two and left Mahomes and Watson sitting on the board. I mean, that to me, I would have to have blinders on not to keep looking back and thinking, what if? So you've got that you used draft capital and a really great
a bad position. Draft pick that may set that franchise back for 10 years.
Yes. And on top of it, I'm okay with him saying that in the locker room to his teammates.
Yeah.
Rally your guys. Do not go on the media. At first I thought, oh, someone overheard this and it's like Sam Darnold's situation seeing ghosts. This went out. And, oh, no. He addressed the media with it. Bad idea. And especially when you're sitting at a 34.8 total QBR.
Mm.
I mean, what they're saying about you, Mitchell, is true. So you got to turn around that number and do it within the confines of your locker room if you want to lead and get respect from your teammates. Yikes.
All right. We had one close matchup, I think very evenly matched teams in the Chargers and the Raiders. Another evenly matched showdown this week, the Vikings and the Cowboys. Vikings coming to Dallas. I see these two teams as quite similar.
Yeah,
they both have extraordinary running backs. Cook and Elliott are at the top of the league. They both have quarterbacks who have shown flashes of playing really well, but then flashes of real disappointment in Cooks and Prescott, or Cousins and Prescott. And their defenses are both notable. Mm-hmm. So I really think this is one of the better matchups, and it's an important matchup because as we head down this second half of the season, both teams are struggling or on the cusp of the playoff hunt.
Yeah, they both are. Cowboys are first in the NFC East, so you have to give them some props for overcoming the Black Cat on Monday Night Football.
Well, I think the cat worked in their favor.
That was kind of creepy.
That cat was siding with the Giants. I mean, against the Giants. It certainly served for the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, it did. And Cousins has a bugaboo he has to overcome, which is the primetime games.
Mm.
And, you know, four of the next six are on Sunday or Monday nights for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. So he's got an issue he's got to overcome there. But I think you're right. I think this is a very evenly matched game, and it's going to be really interesting who steps up, who makes the least mistakes, I think is what it's going to come down to. And I saw Dak really beat himself up after that first play.
That opening game pick.
Yeah, that was tough.
So when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Cole Beasley. And, of course,
he's a former Cowboy,
had a great career with the Cowboys, moved to the Buffalo Bills. And it's really interesting because he's
taking on Cleveland this week.
Well, they're going to win against Cleveland, I think. Mm-hmm. Bills having a good year. 6-2 right now. And Beasley's a guy, he played for Prescott, watching Prescott develop under his eyes. And now he's with Josh Allen. It will be fun to ask Cole Beasley, what's it like to play and see the development firsthand of Dak Prescott and Josh Allen? That'll be Cole Beasley when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
To First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line here on SB Nation Radio is standout wide receiver Cole Beasley of the Buffalo Bills. Cole, thanks so much for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I'd love to begin. I've watched you for so many years playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and now you're having a great year this season with the Bills. What's the biggest difference between playing for the Dallas Cowboys and playing for the Buffalo Bills?
There's a lot of differences. I really just think it's the experience of being in a place where everyone's so close together and there's not so many things kind of pulling you in so many different directions. You know, it allows a chance for a team to really, truly be close. And then you can create that bond where you can really play for the guy next to you. I mean, there's stuff going on every weekend at one of my teammates' house where the whole family's invited to bring my kids. There's millions of kids that my kids get to be friends with, you know, so it's really been a different and unique experience here, and we've enjoyed it.
So that's intriguing. I don't really know. Why is it so different in Buffalo then? Why is there more of a community there? Is it because it's a smaller town? There are fewer distractions? Is it what Coach McDermott does? What makes Buffalo so unique that way?
I think it's a little bit all those things. So McDermott kind of sets the foundation. When I got there in the off season, one of the things he did with the new players that arrived was he would give us an opportunity to go up in the team meeting room and speak in front of the whole team and put pictures up and talk about our story and share ourselves with the team so they could learn about us. And that kind of set the foundation. And then I think everybody's just so close together. I mean, New York City's like 5 hours away. I guess Toronto's kind of a little bit closer, but that's like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So, you know, really it's this small community where everybody's kind of close together, whereas in Dallas, there's Frisco, there's Plano, there's Dallas, there's so many places you can live around there, and everybody kind of spreads out, and they're so far apart, it's hard to really get together. And then there's also so many things to do in Dallas that kind of brings attention or takes attention away from the team with that. So I guess there's just not as many things to do here. So we create opportunities for things to do within ourselves. And it's just a real cool deal. We all get together and we're together all the time. So you really develop that love for your teammates.
That's great to hear, Cole. And speaking of opportunities, so you've got the Bills sitting at 6-2 right now, which has been such a great surprise. What do you see as the keys to the team's success so far this season?
Really great coaches and great players right now.
you love the job Josh Allen's doing. I mean, he's stepped in and just looked like a star.
Yeah, no, Josh Allen, he's done a great job. And, you know, he's got all the talent in the world with a big arm, and he can extend plays with his legs. And he's a straight-up dog. He's a guy you'd bring into a bar fight. So guys love playing for him. That's what makes him the leader that he is. He leads by example and brings his A game to the field every game, and got a great defense and just a bunch of guys that are willing to work and want to get better and be the best.
Well, you can't ask for better, and it's showing in your record. As far as heading into the second half, do you see any challenges, or what do you think the biggest challenges would be for the Bills right now heading into the second half of the season?
I don't know. Really, just the things that we have to clean up offensively are just penalties and turnovers. That's our biggest challenge as an offense. I can't really speak for the defense because, you know, they speak for themselves. They've been playing their butts off this year. But, you know, really just not looking too far ahead and staying one game at a time. That's really how we have to approach it. And, you know, we'll be fine if we stay in the moment.
We're talking to Cole Beasley, the standout wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. It's interesting you talk about Josh Allen, and it's interesting to compare him to Dak Prescott in the sense that there are a lot of similarities. You were working with them both early in their careers. They're big physical quarterbacks who move around well. What have you seen in their development? How do you compare those two?
You know, they're very similar with how they handle themselves mentally. You know, nothing really phases them. Nothing really gets to them, and that's part of what makes them great. You know, they can have a bad play or even a bad game, and then turn it around because their head stays in it, and they just move on to the next play. That's really what separates a good quarterback from a different one. So, you know, the mind plays a big role, probably the biggest role out of anything, and at that position, and really all positions. You know, mentally, if you don't have it, you're not going to make it. And you got to be able to move on because these guys are good too. They're going to make some plays, but you just got to keep fighting, move on to the next play, and work to win the next one. And he does a good job of that.
Cole, of course, we cannot get through this interview without talking to you about your alma mater, The Pony Express. So Sonny Dykes has got your SMU Mustangs off to their best start in years under Shane Buechele. And what do you see with your Mustangs? What's the difference here, and how exciting is that to see this happening?
Oh, I really haven't had the opportunity to see them play very often because we're always Saturdays. We're doing meetings and all that stuff. So, but I've checked on the scores, and they've done a good job, man. I'm really proud of them. And, you know, we lost a tough one last week, mm-hmm. but the way they battle back and they fight back when they're down, this is the second time they've come from behind, and they didn't pull it out this time. But, you know, you love to see that fight in the guys, and that says a lot about Sonny Dykes and how he's getting them ready mm-hmm. for the game.
Cole Beasley, standout wide receiver for the Bills, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Okay, talk to us about Polaris and the Most Driven Team program that you're running.
Yeah, I really got together with these guys, Polaris Ranger, to celebrate the best stories in Texas high school football. You know, I've been a part of that, and so it was a really unique deal that looked like a great opportunity. And we've also partnered with Dave Campbell's Texas Football to identify five schools that are playing for more than wins and losses this season. Their stories have been captured in short videos as part of Polaris's Most Driven Team campaign. And really anybody can go watch these stories and vote for who they think is the most driven team on TexasFootball.com. So really exciting for them. You know, growing up in Texas is one of the most fun times of my life. It was the most fun I ever had playing football, for sure. So it just gives them a little bit extra motivation. It'll be fun for those five schools to compete.
So they can go vote on TexasFootball.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. You heard it from Cole Beasley. Cole, thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
So great to visit with Cole Beasley. I mean, he had a great career with the Cowboys. I was a little surprised they let him walk. Obviously, they got a lot of money they have to spread around. But he was exceptional for them for a long time, had a great connection with Dak Prescott. Now the Cowboys have Randall Cobb in that slot. And Cobb has come in and played well.
Yes,
he's had
has.
Some injury issues. I mean, I guess when you look at the Cowboys generally, the question is, which team are they? Are they the team of the first half or the second half of last Sunday night football game? Or are they the team that lost to the Jets or the team that beat the Eagles? It's really hard to get a read on this Dallas team.
Well, I think Monday night against the Giants, you saw both of those teams. They started out as the team that lost to the Jets, and they ended up as the team that beat the Eagles. So I think you look for progress. You know, you look for how they recover from a slow start. I mean, they outgained the Giants in yardage 429 to 271.
Mm. Yeah.
And their defense.
And Elliott ran the ball well. So defensively, yes, it's worth highlighting. Five sacks on Daniel Jones.
So
now,
nice.
He is a rookie. He holds on to the ball too long.
But he's Danny Dimes.
Well, he's
Don't
Danny
you know?
Dimes.
He's the savior. Savior in New York.
He was the worst draft pick ever. To the savior of New York, and now somewhere in between. I don't really know where he is. Obviously, his fate's still to be determined. But one thing I can say about the Cowboys is I think that Michael Bennett pickup looked pretty impressive. He was exceptional last week. And when you put him on that defensive front, I think you'll have all three of their war daddy pass rushers, to use Jerry Jones's term, all three, Robert Quinn, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Michael Bennett, all three will be on the field on third and down passing situations. And those are three heavyweight pass rushers.
No, that's very true. And, you know, when they, again, talking about their slow start and coming on, the Cowboys scored on five of their last seven drives.
Yeah, and one of them.
That's a nice red zone percentage.
That's right. You're fair enough. So we'll
see. You know, I'm all about the Dak train. And you are Mr. Cowboy. You need to get on it.
I know the irony here for those listening is I'm the big Cowboys fan, but I'm more skeptical about my own quarterback. She has no affinity for the Cowboys.
I'm all about it. I don't look back.
You believe in Dak at this point.
I do.
Right, we shall see. Now, one thing I want you to really do, though, is improve your visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better, Drive Safer sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Trico Titan wiper blades. They'll even install your wiper blades for free while you wait.
That's a deal. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going for the wiper blades.
Well, do that because I don't want you to risk your visibility, risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find just what you need. Deal?
Deal. Done.
I knew you could do it.
Count on it.
All right. Before we break, we're going to talk about college football when we come back. Yes. And I really want to get your reaction to the CFPs that have come out.
May not want to get my reaction.
The first BCS
it's
ranking.
Early.
It's early. Woo. And there's a lot of football to cover, but some very interesting rankings and great games this week. We'll look at Alabama, LSU, all that's coming up in college football when we return here, First and 10, SB Nation Radio.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, First and 10, and we are all things football. Let's shift our gaze to college football as the first BCS rankings came out.
CFP. BCS is old school.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. and I still call them the San Diego Chargers. Sorry, Ron.
I'm not.
You'd be happy with them in San Diego, I know.
I would much prefer them be in San Diego or London.
Fair enough. Okay. What was your reaction to the rankings? Did you like them?
I like number one. I have no issues with Ohio State being top of the heap.
They're a pretty complete team. They've got talent on both sides of the ball. Yeah. Justin Fields, obviously one of the great stories in the offseason. And it's funny, if you're Georgia, you might think he's the one that got away. But he's been a great catalyst for the Ohio State offense.
No, Justin Fields has been absolutely amazing. And every week they perform at a consistently high level.
Yep.
You know, which is not what you can say about anybody else. And they are number one in the country in offensive efficiency, not deficiency. Number two in defensive efficiency. Can't even get that out this morning. Guess who's number one in defensive efficiency this season?
I would have gone
with my angry face.
I would have gone Wisconsin, but with your angry face, oh gosh, don't look at me that way. I didn't do it. I'm sorry.
I know.
It's Clemson.
Yes.
Yeah, because you've got a little, you're frustrated with where Clemson is.
I'm really frustrated with that. I do realize it's the first ranking. We have four more to go.
Yuck. But hold your breath. There is time.
But let me tell you this.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I told you you didn't want to poke this bear this early in the morning.
I see your face. If people, if all of America could see the,
thank God for radio,
the smoke coming out of your ears.
No, I have a problem with this. You're looking at a Clemson team who wears the respect. They are the defending national champs. What have they done? All they've done is win out. They have won every single game. Yes, did they have a hiccup against a new Mack Brown-coached UNC team?
Yeah.
They did. Did they pull it out? Yes. Do they have a bullseye on their back every week? Yes. And they are winning every single week with their starting five on the defensive line in the NFL. Lost five of them to the NFL, and they are still number one in defensive efficiency this weekend.
Yeah, that defensive line last year was stocked. What, they have three number one draft picks?
I mean, unbelievable with Cleveland Farrell. And I mean, it's just these guys, Christian Wilkinson, they're amazing. And Clemson continues to get it done. They should not, by any stretch of the imagination, be outside of the top four. And I know that strength of schedule is a really big, I could tell by the rankings, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Obviously, that's a really big thing that the committee's weighing on this year. And playing in the ACC, you don't have a strong strength of schedule. But when you look at the contenders, which to me is basically 1 through 11, based on these new CFP rankings, the worst strength of schedule of all contenders is Alabama. Look it up.
Well,
and they sit there at number three, and it frustrates me. They didn't win the national championship. Yes, they are winning out as well. But their strength of schedule is less than Clemson's. I am like, fuming. But
well,
it's early.
Yeah, good. Take heart. Alabama, we're going to find out who they are.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I'm not worried about Alabama.
Obviously, but LSU this week, then Auburn, and presumably Georgia in the SEC championship game if they were to continue to win and make it that far. So we'll see where Alabama really stands. Tua, a question mark. It looks like he will play, but at what level can he play is still an open question.
I guess so. I would say in the top five,
yep.
The only one I have an issue with is Penn State. Yes, their strength of schedule has been a little bit better than Clemson's. Not much. I'm not going to lie. Not much. And they are undefeated. But they are not defending national champs. They did not lose basically their entire defensive line. And they are not number one in the country in defensive efficiency. So I do not love the love that was given to Penn State. I don't think they deserve to be in the top four right now.
Well, we'll get a good look at them this weekend. They face an undefeated Minnesota, which is a better matchup, a tougher foe than they have faced. I think Minnesota, though, is a little bit fool's gold. Though they're undefeated, yes. They haven't really played anybody.
They played one team with a winning record.
Right. And then ultimately, Penn State will have to face Ohio State, and that will be a great matchup to see who can come out of that conference.
Right. And there's still, you know, November is exciting. That's why this is exciting. They're in conference play. They're beating each other up, you know, which is what's going to happen in the Pac-12. Can you believe two teams in the Pac-12 are in the top 10?
Oregon at number 7, Utah at number 8, both of them with one loss. So there are 4 one-loss teams we find in the top 10. Georgia at number 6, Oregon at 8-1, at 7, Utah at 8, and Oklahoma at 9. Oklahoma 7-1. Of course, their big-time blemish was that loss to Kansas State.
Ooh, that hurt.
But those one-loss teams, they have a shot because there'll be so much competition. I mean, those top 5 teams that are all undefeated up ahead of them, they're going to beat each other up. I mean, Alabama and LSU play. OSU and Penn State could play. There will be lots of opportunity for teams to fall out. I think there'll be a number of one-loss teams, probably two or three one-loss teams in the Final Four when we get there. So hold out hope if you're a Georgia fan. You can still do this.
Oh, absolutely. And Georgia's the highest-ranked one-loss team, and they should be. They did have that. Unfortunately, their loss was a tough one to South Carolina,
yep.
But they made up for it by beating a number 15 Notre Dame and a number 10 Florida. And I think that really helps to offset a bad loss to South Carolina. And you look at Oregon, their only loss was opening week to Auburn, who's rated number 11. So that's a great loss if you're going to have a loss. I think if you're Baylor and you're the Big 12, you're like, darn. They're 12-0. I mean, they're 8-0, and they're ranked number 12. And you've got, let's see, 6 teams ahead of you, 2 with 2 losses and a couple with 1 loss. But I think what that tells you, Baylor, is that you haven't really played anyone yet. And out of all the Power 5 conferences, the Big 12 has got the least amount of weight. So, and that's what the committee's telling you right there.
Well, I suppose, just to play it out, if Baylor were to win out, and that would include beating Texas, Oklahoma, and then winning the Big 12 championship against one of those teams or Oklahoma or somebody who sneaks in there. If they were to be an undefeated Big 12 champion, it would be awfully hard to deny Baylor a shot in the Final Four.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen.
I think a one-loss SEC team trumps an undefeated Big 12 team. I mean, I'm thinking that's how the committee, it looks like how they're thinking of.
Well, a one-loss LSU team could get there. I mean, interestingly, if LSU loses to Alabama this week, given the quality wins they've had in Tuscaloosa, and LSU has already beaten Auburn and Florida, plus Texas on the road, I could argue that LSU, even if they're not the SEC champion, would be worthy of consideration. Obviously, in that scenario, Alabama would presumably have gone in, or Georgia would have gone in from the SEC, and LSU could be the other team to get there. I'd give them that consideration. I mean, Georgia's in that same boat. There's a one-loss team that could likely get there.
Yeah.
Frankly, if Oregon wins out and the opportunity to get Justin Herbert on a big-time stage, that's great for college football. He is a guy that
it's people...
Good for the Pac-12. People haven't seen enough of Justin Herbert.
Right.
Playing
it's
on
West
the West Coast.
Team.
He has been a bit anonymous.
Yeah.
But he is an exceptional quarterback, a physical specimen. NFL scouts are going to drool all over him. He's not a Kyler Murray where you're having to find a way to think about how you could make him work in your offense.
He's the plug-and-play.
The plug-and-play, the prototype guy. He's exactly what they look for.
Yep.
And so I really think that there'll be a slight bias to include Oregon, all else being equal, just to give Justin Herbert that chance to be on the big stage.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
But he's got to win out. They've got to win the Big 12. I mean, the Pac-12. Oregon, with one loss, Pac-12 champion, I think they deserve some consideration.
Yeah. And they would have to win the Pac-12, absolutely. And it's looking like they will be facing the Pac-12 South champion in Utah, and that will be Oregon, Utah. They are ranked now 7-8. They would face each other in the Pac-12 championship game. That would be a good one. You know, other good quarterbacks, we're going to see it this weekend, the battle of Burrow and Tua.
Mm. Love that.
It's going to be great. Joe Burrow leads the nation in completion percentage, 79%. Number two, Tua.
Yeah.
Of course, Tua is two. But Tua leads the nation in QBR, in total QBR at 95.8, which is impressive. I cannot wait to see this battle. Now, I don't know what kind of Tua we're going to get. The guy had ankle surgery 2 weeks ago, but he's a physical specimen.
The word surgery... On your ankle, and then coming back and playing a couple weeks later sort of defies logic. But obviously it's a minor procedure that they think accelerates the cycle time of getting him back on the field.
Right, right. Who do you got? Who do you have this
weekend? So that matchup, though, I just love. I love the matchup of Burrow versus Tua. And, of course, I use the last name for Burrow and the first name for Tua. It's just easier that way for me.
Tagovailoa takes a lot, especially this early in the
morning.
But
you do quite well with it, I might say.
I really like that name. It's cool.
So I was looking at the latest mock drafts. And, of course... This is so early to talk mock drafts. The combine changes things. The end of the year will change things. But you do have on the field in this game probably about 10, maybe 12 guys who will go in the first round between two teams. 12 might be a little high, but you could find four or five guys from LSU, five or six guys from Alabama, and they're all going to go in the first round, which just shows how stocked in talent these two teams are. Now, two of the guys who will certainly go in the first round are Tua and Joe Burrow. And in fact, I bet they'll both go in the top 10. Joe Burrow will be a top 10 quarterback. I'm convinced of it now. Justin Herbert, of course, and Tua. Those three all will fall in the top 10. I think Jake Fromm may be early second, although quarterbacks have a way of sneaking their way in. But you've got two guys and a matchup of this scale, teams ranked number two and three in the country. The stage doesn't get better than it does this weekend.
Oh no, it's big.
In Alabama.
It's big, but you know who's being talked about as a number one pick is defensive end out of Ohio State, Chase Young. And I thought when I watched the committee unveil their rankings the other night, Joe Mullen, the chairman of the committee, actually called out Chase Young. I mean, you know, propped him up, and that's pretty unusual.
Yep.
To have individual players called out. I mean, he's a special player. This guy is—he's a game wrecker.
About 25%. I mean, he's always in the backfield. I'll say this about him: that if he were not playing defensive end, I think he should get the Heisman Trophy. I just don't see how it's going to work out.
It would be tough.
It's so tough for that position. I don't know. It's almost for years. It was always a running back, and now it always seems to be a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Often a quarterback from Oklahoma. Although I don't know that this year, Jalen Hurts. That Kansas State loss
that
was so big.
That dashed
for Oklahoma.
A lot of hopes.
It dashed hopes for Jalen Hurts at Heisman. It dashed hopes for Oklahoma. And going back to your comments about Clemson and your smoke out of your ears that Clemson not getting enough credit, they did have the scare against North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It would seem most of the elite teams at some point, maybe because of turnovers, maybe because of complacency, at some point, the very good teams are going to have a stinker game.
Sure.
Where they turn it over and the whole season becomes at risk because even one loss can derail your
like
hopes.
Like OU, just what you were saying.
Like OU.
Of. Yeah.
The difference, and this is why I would come to your defense on Clemson. Clemson had that stinker game, that challenging game against North Carolina, and they figured out a way to win.
Right.
Oklahoma, in the midst of it, went into halftime, started to try to figure out what they were going to do, how could they turn it around, and they couldn't figure out how to win.
Right. They made a furious comeback that made the score look closer than the game actually was, but you're right. They couldn't get over the goal line.
K-State had them on their heels all game, and frankly, that Oklahoma defense looked miserably poor. So, no, I think that you have to give Clemson credit for figuring out a way to win when they didn't have their best game.
Because resiliency is part of sports. It's part of life, whatever. And they have... You know, Trevor Lawrence did not get off to the start. He was the number one Heisman front runner, you know, preseason. And his start's been rocky. I mean, a lot of interceptions. But what's happened is they have been able to win through that. And he is now hitting his stride and getting better. And honestly, you don't want to peak in September. Early losses, early hiccups are usually better. However, The UNC hiccup keeps coming back to haunt Clemson. But hopefully this number five does what I think Dabo Swinney would do, motivate these guys over the top to say, not in my house.
All right, when we come back, we're going to break down Thursday night's game. We'll get the final picks from Carla and David. You're listening to First and Ten SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, First and Ten. And this show's been a little bit tense because I've had Ron Culver, the world's biggest Chargers fan, and Carla Dawson, the world's biggest Raiders fan, here in studio. I've kept them in separate rooms because the big Thursday night matchup with high stakes, Chargers, Raiders, it's time for you guys to make your case. Ron, what do you say for your Chargers?
This is what the Chargers always do. They always start off slow. They always finish strong. It's just another classic example of what I'm expecting to be a beatdown on the Raiders tonight.
Ooh, wow. And Carla, you look a little wounded there.
No, I get it. I mean, Raiders are in a rebuild. I mean, they've got a culture change going on. I love what I see. They're leaning on their rookies. All four touchdowns last weekend scored by rookies against a win in Detroit. I've got the Raiders by three. It's the last visit to the black hole for the Chargers, and I think these fans want to stick it to them.
Mm.
Come on, Raider Nation, princes of darkness, show them who's boss.
Wow. Now, see, I've been put in an awkward position here because I like you both and I want to maintain a relationship with both of you. And now I feel an obligation to pick one.
So you're going zebras on this one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm going with the zebras. Yeah. I'm going with the announcing team. By the way, how odd was it that Jason Witten was playing on Monday Night Football last week when just the year before he had been in the booth for Monday Night Football?
Well, take a look at Mayock and Gruden. They were also on.
I know. TV. Isn't that fun to see?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, your pick. Don't you get away?
Yeah,
from
I really
that.
Do think that the Chargers showed me something last week. I think what they did to Green Bay was really exciting, exceptional. I think their defense is extraordinary. I think this is the Chargers game to win, but we shall see. All right, next up, the inimitable Brian Barrett. Be sure to tune in to Brian Barrett up next here on SB Nation Radio.